SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, for all back on Coast to Coast, that SMU lead 79-65, buck 50 left down in Dallas. They were laying 11 and a hook. All right, Carver High, a lot of NBA rack to get into. We know that the cancellations are rolling. Mavs Pels tonight, which was the game of the night, plus Porzingis was coming back. That's a swing and a miss. Now it's all about the Natty in college football, and they canceled that Bulls Celtics game tomorrow as well. There's been games left and right. Heat Celtics canceled. It's getting crazy with the COVID in the NBA.
Yeah, we've got three canceled. Obviously, one last night, which was Heat Celtics. That got postponed. Tonight, Pelicans and Mavs. Tomorrow night, Bulls and Celtics. The Heat lose Avery Bradley to COVID quarantine. Jason Tatum facing a 10-day quarantine for the Celtics. Here it is, Scotty. I mean, listen, we thought that it might happen, and we're seeing games start to get picked off of the NBA schedule here. It seems like they're just going to try to – the NBA said today they're having a big governor's meeting tomorrow, maybe making the protocols a little bit stricter, but it sounds like we're pressing on and just going to move these games to the end of the year.
God, I hope so. If they cancel the NBA season, which right now they have no plans to do that, they are moving forward and dealing with each situation as it arises. But if it got to the point where they cancel the NBA season, then I can guarantee you what will happen. The fallout will be college basketball will be canceled the day after that, and that will be the end of basketball as you know it for this year, and that would be devastating. I don't know what I would do. Like, honestly, I'd end up in a rubber room. I watch more NBA and college rack than I eat and breathe. I mean, honestly, that's all I do. All I do is watch basketball. And then once hockey starts, it's even worse because I watch hockey as much as I watch basketball. And if they cancel hockey and basketball, I may jump off a bridge.
No, we cannot have it. And trust me, I'm assuming that hockey's going to have the same issues that the NBA is having right now. We've already seen it with the Dallas Stars and them having to cancel their first three games of the season that's coming up this week. All right, let's hit some rack from over the weekend before we get to tonight's games. Kawhi says the Clippers have to change things up after collapsing against the Warriors on Friday night. Bad job by them in that game. Tom Thibodeau is thrilled to have Taj Gibson return to the Knicks. Man, they've fallen far, Scotty. Lost to the Thunder on Friday night. Lost over the weekend. The Knicks, after that great start, kind of came back to earth over the weekend. Lloyd Pierce, job not in danger despite the Hawks' slow start to the season. I didn't think it was that slow, Scotty. I mean, they're scoring points. What's the problem with Lloyd in Atlanta? What, they want to be undefeated?
Well, first of all, I don't believe for 1 minute that he's safe. And, you know, we've already been talking about the same problems. Scott Brooks in D.C., he's in trouble. Certainly Thibodeau's not in trouble, but here's the reason why the Knicks kind of hit a wall. And I talked about this on the bench on Friday night with Mafia. It's that guys like Elfrid Payton can't hit a two-footer. I mean, the guy must have missed 9 5-foot to two-foot shots. He drives off the dribble, goes into the paint. He's at the rim. He's a foot away, and he still misses. First of all, he can't shoot from outside to save his ass. Thank God he realizes that and drives. But I've never seen a guy miss more easy finger roll layups from 2 feet out than Payton. And he wonders why he can't stick on a team. It's because he can't shoot. They can't shoot. They can't hit shots. They can't hit mid-range. They can't hit threes. They're a terrible shooting team. That's just all there is to it. We welcome in all of our radio affiliates. Certainly, Satellite Radio Channel 204 on Sirius. We're stoked to be on there. Hope you're digging it. I'm Pharrell. This is Coast to Coast. Sports Map, Byline, Mightier 1090 in San Diego, all on the list. We love all of you. Good to have you with us today on C2C. I'm telling you, Carver High, they're very frustrating to watch. The other night I was watching them lose to the Nuggets, getting their ass just pelted. And then I'm watching the Nets lose. Let me tell you something about this team. They stink, too. You know, they got KD And then they got, you know, disappearance, Kyrie. He's just gone. God only knows what's happened to him. He's lost his mind or something. He's done playing basketball. That's pathetic. And then KD was out because of protocols. Then he comes back. It doesn't matter. He comes back. He's missed game-winning shots from the elbow, the shot he never misses. Now he misses regularly. He's not consistent at all. And Joe Harris can't hit the broad side of a barn. Chris LeVert's in a shooting slump. Their best player is Froman. You know you suck when Froman's the best player on your whole team, and there's just no denying it. They lost Dinwiddie. The Nets and Knicks both suck. It didn't take long, did it?
It did not. Let's get to tonight's games while they punch those up. LaMelo Ball, triple-double in a win over the Hawks. Youngest player ever to record a triple-double. Nice job by LaMelo Ball. Here we go,
Scotty. He looked great.
Grizz and the Cavs. Grizz and the Cavs tonight, -2.5 for the Grizz. Bucks, -10 at Orlando. Knicks getting 4.5 in Charlotte against Ball and the Hornets. Suns, -6.5 on the road against the Wiz.
Look, I love what LaMelo Ball's doing. He's fun to watch. He's fast. He finds guys under the basket like no one in the league. I haven't seen anyone in the league find cutters as well as LaMelo sees them. Like Wayne Gretzky, before the play happens, he knew what was going to happen. He saw the ice like no other. I think LaMelo Ball sees the floor better than his brother, better than anyone I've seen dishing the rock this year. I'm going to go Hornets over the Knicks because of that factor. I'm going to go Cavs. I like the Magic in an upset over the Bucks getting the 7.5. And I like the Suns tonight on the road. I'm going to go with them. I think the Hawks win, but Philly covers the big number. And the Mavs game got canceled. I'm going to go Blazers at home, lay the points. Pacers on the road in Sacramento. I'm going to lay the points there as well. Shake it up. You get them all at PharrellandEvents.com.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Carver High had to talk me off the ledge late last night with the Steelers' performance against the Browns. He said, you got to do the segments with Adam Kaplan on Monday. You can't do it tonight. Wait until Tuesday or Wednesday to do yourself. So I'm here, and Adam Kaplan is here, our NFL insider on Coast to Coast. Let's start with not all of my misery, thanks. Let's just leave that off the table for now. Let's start with the misery in Philadelphia. They fired their coach today. That was the big story in the NFL.
Yeah, no doubt, Pharrell. So after five seasons, Doug Peters is no longer the head coach of the Eagles. And you know, Scott, you and I have detailed some of the issues with Peterson and just kind of why the Eagles were bad, 4-11-1. And the big reason, talking to team sources, is really the coaching staff struggle. That a rough season. Certainly the Eagles had an awful injury situation. Probably in terms of players missed games, top five, they just missed too many games, a lot of the key players. No question that's a factor. But the coaching staff did not have its best year, and particularly Doug Peterson. That, I do believe, contributed to the firing today. I do believe that the owner, Jeffrey Lurie, and Peterson cannot agree on their long-term vision. As a matter of fact, right before we came on here, Jeffrey Lurie did talk about how it was more long-term that Jeffrey was looking at in terms of what the roster should look like and everything else. He didn't want to get into the staffing, but as I understand it, Lurie did have some differences of opinion on what the staff should look like. That was a big bone of contention, according to sources. And look, the fact of the matter is, this is a head coach, though, and Doug Peterson, let's give him credit. After his first season, they were 7-9. He did something that is rarely done. They won the Super Bowl the next season. They made the playoffs in 18-19. Certainly a major regression. No offseason due to COVID and all the issues they had with injury. But the belief internally was that the team should have been way better than it was. It wasn't. That did contribute, Pharrell, to the firing today. But my sense is that they just cannot agree on staffing, what the staff should look like. And Peterson's vision was clearly not the same as the owner's, who had more of a long-term vision because they need to get younger. There's no question about it. When you look at the roster, too many older players, and that's what they're going to do going forward. They're going to get significantly younger.
Well, what's the story with Carson Wentz now? That's the real issue.
Yeah, and Jeffrey Lurie, when you look at it, Pharrell, he was asked about that today. He just talked about how it was a down year after really four good seasons, particularly the 2017 season, where he clearly was going to be the MVP of the league. There's no doubt about it, heading out towards ACL in that game late in the season at the Rams. Look, they haven't said they won't trade him. That's the one thing today that I was surprised at. He could have just said, we're not trading him. He didn't do that. The door is left open for him to say that, though he clearly sounded like he wants him back. He's under contract. But fact of the matter is they did not slam the door on any potential trade. And you and I talked about last week who are some of the teams who would be interested if the Eagles are willing to trade him. We talked about the Colts. I talked about the Bears because I had heard from a pretty good source that the Bears GM Ryan Pace had interest in Carson Wentz in the 2016 draft. Of course, that was 1 year before they drafted Mitch Trubisky in Chicago. But the fact of the matter is, I do think, though, going forward, that is chief among their decisions. What are they going to do with Carson Wentz? They also need a head coach. They don't have a defensive coordinator. Remember, Jim Schwartz decided to take the year off. I'm told, though, the Eagles actually had interest in bringing him back. He had 1 year left on his contract. So in Philly with the Eagles, need a head coach, need a vision. They need to get younger. They need to decide on the quarterback. Lots of decisions coming in Philly in the days ahead.
Do you think that they would consider trading him to the Steelers if they can't agree on Roethlisberger? Because, look, the Steelers have all kinds of players that have contract situations, and they have a lot of young players that are good and receivers even that the Eagles just don't have. Would they be interested in a deal across the state in the Keystone?
Yeah, that's interesting because let's talk about Roethlisberger since you brought up the Steelers. Now, the Steelers, ironically, have a decision to make on Roethlisberger's contract. You know, Ben turns 39 in March. He signed just for one more season through 2021. Remember, they restructured his contract last year. Now, he only carries a base salary for $4 million, but there's a roster bonus for $15 million. Total compensation in cash is $19 million, which is, by the way, for a guy who's accomplished as much as Ben Roethlisberger has, that's actually nothing. $19 million is not a lot in NFL standards. But they do have to make a decision on his roster bonus. If he's on the roster the third day of free agency, which should be around March 20th, that roster bonus is due. They would have to pay him that money. So they have to make a decision on it by then. These decisions are usually done well before that. And Ben made it clear, it sure sounded like after the game, that he wants to be back, wants to play at 39 years old. But the Steelers have to make a decision. Not only that, when you look at their quarterbacks, Pharrell, they don't have anyone who signed past 2021. They really need to make a decision on who's going to be Roethlisberger's long-term replacement, even if he comes back next season. Is it Mason Rudolph, who's only signed through next season? They got to make that decision. So both teams in Pennsylvania have to make a decision now. As far as Wentz being traded to Pittsburgh, I've not heard that they would be interested. And if the thing with Wentz is, though, we should talk about this for a second. At 28 years old, who is he as a quarterback? Because after 19, that was probably the first season of the regression. And this season was a disaster. He got benched. But there are a lot of people around the National Football League who think he's an elite talent, but he hasn't played like it lately. You have to make a decision if you're trading for him. Can you get him back to where he once was? That was a long time ago. You know, you're talking about, despite the injury history, which the last two seasons was minimal. He actually was not on the injury report the last two seasons. He got hurt in that playoff game against Seattle when Clowney took him out with a concussion. But the injury history is really not the issue right now. It's the level of play. Can you get him back to that? If your team, Pharrell, is going to trade for him, you got to think he's still special. He just hasn't played like that lately.
And the rest of the team stunk. You can't lay it all on him. They had one did well. They had no running game, no one up front. Their receivers were ass. And then they blame everything on Wentz and Peterson. And they had all kinds of big-name coaches on that staff. I can't believe what it's turned into from a Super Bowl to this nightmare. It's like a soap opera. Let me ask you about another team with the same predicament, the Bears. I can't believe after losing six in a row and still making the playoffs and the way Trubisky played down the stretch, I know they laid an egg in that game in New Orleans yesterday, but that being said, leave that off the table. Nagy and Trubisky, I have a problem if they fire the coach and get rid of the quarterback after they got him into the playoffs. What did they want, Utopia in Chicago?
Yeah, a couple things there. As of an hour ago, I talked with a Bears source. The coaches have not heard about their future yet. I'm sure they'll hear it over the next 48 hours. They're actually doing their year-end review, exit meetings with the players, and also they're reviewing the tape of the playoff game yesterday against the Saints, so they got to get through that. That's a tough call there. Look, Matt Nagy burst on the scene in 2018, shocked the world as a playoff team with Trubisky playing really, really well. We know that 19 was not a good season, a real drop-off. This season, somehow they made it. Their defense played very well against the Saints. They scored, a play on the last – they scored a touchdown on the last play of the game to make the score look closer, but the game wasn't really that close, as you and I talked about last week. We didn't think it would be close. The way I understand with Trubisky is they have not ruled out bringing him back. It's kind of like they have to figure out – now, again, also Ryan Pace, you have to make sure that he's coming back, the GM. But if everybody's coming back, they have to make a decision. My sense is, though, if they bring him back, it would only be a short-term solution, maybe a one-year contract, even if it was multiple, be able to get out after 1 year. But you're right. His accuracy went way up in the final quarter of the season. I understand the schedule is better. But good football is good football. He played good football. Yesterday was tough. Remember Darnell Mooney, their outstanding draft pick out of Tulane, who you and I talked about early in the season, was a guy they really, really loved. He was a guy who pushed Ted Ginn off the roster. He did a good job, but unfortunately he had a bad ankle. I'm told his ankle was in a boot all week, so he didn't play. He had a breakout game a couple weeks ago, so he wasn't available. That really hurt their passing game, and they just didn't have enough help there. So that one is up in the air, but my sense is they're not completely against bringing back Trubisky, but on a short-term deal.
I got to tell you, if Mims doesn't drop that perfect dime bomb on a flea flicker, and the way they played defensively in that first half, they were completely in that game when it was 7-3. It should have been 7-all at the half. I cannot believe how bad they went from looking to playing in the second half. It was beyond me. When we come back, we'll talk to Adam Kaplan about the rest of the games from Wild Card Weekend and look ahead to the divisionals on Coast to Coast.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, so let's go backwards, Adam. Let's start with last night's debacle at Heinz Field. Oh. I can't believe what I saw. Not the snap over Roethlisberger's head from Pouncey started it, and then the interceptions just one after the next over the middle. I kept asking my buddies, what are they doing? He keeps throwing over the middle. Like, I mean, he'd already had two of them picked off, and you just keep going back to the well. I have never seen them look worse in my entire life. I'm 55 years old. I've never seen them that bad in a football game ever, let alone a playoff game.
Yeah, and Ben Roethlisberger, look, it was a struggle. I do give him credit for fighting back, and he brought the team back as well as he could, but they got in such a hole. His accuracy was way off. He and Ebron were not on the same page with some of those throws, and it was tough watching that game. Look, I'll admit it. In fact, You and I did all these segments. I think that our social media team at Sports Grid put up everything I said last week on these games. And, man, I got roasted for some of the ones I got wrong. But I get it. One of the ones I got wrong, I did not pick the Steelers to lose this game. I was shocked. I know you being a diehard Steeler fan, I didn't see it coming. I am interested to see what happens. You know, we were talking about Roethlisberger in the last segment. I'm also interested to see what happens with the coaching staff. A lot of people critical of Randy Feuchner, their OC. He does a pretty good job, by the way. They're a pass-happy team. We know that they don't run the ball very well. But this day and age, you should be throwing the ball a lot. But, you know, people have complained about their offense. We'll see what Mike Tomlin does, their head coach. Tough loss for them. It was embarrassing. You lose to a team that had not won a playoff game in well over 20 years. And to come out like that, to be down 28-0 before the end of the first quarter, I know you, as a diehard Steeler fan, you were probably up in arms.
I mean, honestly, it was the longest yard. What do you think the Browns do now that they've won? Let's forget about the Steelers. They're toast. The Browns they're getting double digits in Kansas City. And I'll tell you what, I'm not a huge buyer in that Kansas City defense. I'm all over Mahomes and their offense. It's scary. They could blow anyone out. But I think the Browns can run the ball down the Chiefs' throat.
You know, I give him a puncher's chance. So a couple keys here. They got to get Denzel Ward, the best cornerback, back in the lineup. He's still on the COVID list. Stefanski right now, he would talk to Kevin Stefanski, the head coach, talk Monday about how he's expecting me back later in the week. Now, that certainly would help. But and I give them credit. Their defense, you know, the one thing that the Browns do is they give up a lot of production, but they also create a lot of turnovers. But Mahomes does not turn the ball over very much. You're going to need to get Denzel Ward back. They got to get him back. They got Ronnie Harrison back. You and I talked about him last week. Talking to the Browns, they think he's been just a godsend in nickel situations as a safety. But they don't match up very well. But you did say one thing, which is very key here, which people need to understand. The way you beat the Chiefs is you can have success running the football. They don't stop the run very well. Sometimes they do, but overall, the belief around the league is that you can run against them. With those running backs, Hunt and Chubb especially. Chubb was unbelievable last night, particularly in the pass game. How about that? Right. I give him a puncher's chance, but you got to score, man. Now, here's one thing about Baker Mayfield I love. That Tennessee game where they blew out Tennessee at home, in Tennessee.
Right.
And this unbelievable game, he had a great game. He's capable of having big games. When you need to throw the football, he can do that. I can't wait to talk about this game on Thursday and Friday because I need to gather a little bit more information from around the league, how people see this game. But I think you make a fair point. The Browns have won some huge games this season when most of us didn't think they could do it.
When they throw underneath, like they were dumping that ball off in the flat last night, and it is absolutely a killer play for them because they are so good after the catch with those just burly backs with the big legs. Both of them are so lethal. Now, what do you think of the Bucs' chances? A third time they go to the plate against the Saints, and the Saints kick their ass both times.
You know, it's interesting. I remember you and I talked about Brady after his first game as a Buck, and he didn't look great in week one. Well, he's obviously improved after that, 40 touchdown passes the regular season. The Bucs' offense is not the problem. I know the Saints have a very good defense. They can match up cornerback-wise. The problem with the Bucs is their defense. They were awesome in the first half. They've dropped off some for whatever reason. Now, the good news is they're getting back two key defenders this week, Steve McLennan, their nose tackle, and Devin White, their outstanding inside linebacker. They were both brought off the COVID list today, so they'll be back. Now, Kevin Minner, unfortunately, he was replacing White. He went on the reserve COVID list on Monday, so that's a little bit disappointing. But getting back McLennan and White certainly will help. It's their pass rush. You've got to get to Drew Brees. Now, the thing about the Saints is this, though. I know they're playing at home this game. You saw what happened when Minnesota came in and shocked them in the wild card round last year. They put in a new defense. Todd Bowles is a really smart coach, and by the way, he's a head coaching candidate. Talked to his Falcon source. They want to interview him as a candidate. Yeah. So they really like him, by the way, Todd Bowles. So he does a good job. But somehow you've got to pressure Brees because he doesn't move around all that well. He's a short quarterback. If you take away his blind spot, you could get some turnovers. They're a 34 defense. I think Todd Bowles has got to bring something different, though. Something, not that Brees has seen everything, but as I mentioned earlier, Mike Zimmer brought in a new defense that they had not seen on tape. You got to give Drew Brees something different. I give him a chance. That ought to be, by the way, a super high-scoring game.
So let's talk about the Ravens and Lamar Jackson. His numbers, passing, buck 76, running a buck 36, whatever it was. If he does anything like that in Buffalo, the Bills are going to have a problem on their hands. But I think the Bills are better than the Titans, and I know Josh Allen is going to have a nightmare on his hands because I think the Ravens, in my opinion, actually were better than the Rams. If I look at the two best teams defensively over the weekend, it had to be Baltimore. I mean, literally, the Titans never sniffed anything after they put up 10. And I think the Bills are going to have a hard time running. And it's up to Josh Allen to – I don't even think he can run it. And I don't know how he's going to pass it against that team. That is going to be an unbelievable challenge.
This game scares me for our buddy Carver High here. This game is really tough. They're the one team that clearly could pull off the road win. The key to that game, and I got to give Lamar Jackson credit, they're down 10-0. He throws that pick. Then they get the ball back, and it was a third down, and it was a 17-yard completion to Mark Andrews. That loosened up the Titan defense. After that, they got the job done. Set a couple back-breaking runs, and great for him to get his first playoff win. You and I talked about that. You know, Lamar's looked terrible in the playoffs up to this game, and he was really good. They're not going to ask him to throw the ball 40 times a game. That's not what they do. They run the football. They play good defense. They play to their identity. They're the one team, by the way, they play a lot of ton of man coverage. They're the one team that can match up against those great Bill receivers. That is going to be the game of the week of the four of them. by far, that is must-see TV this weekend.
So let's talk about the Rams, because I thought Goff got it done because of Akers and the defense. Oh, yeah. Okay, so my question is, I don't believe in all actuality that they can stop Aaron Rodgers, and I also don't believe that Goff will be able to throw the ball against the Packers, and I don't even think Akers is going to be able to run the ball against the Packers. I don't think they can beat the Packers in Lambeau. I think they beat a team that everyone overrated that Seattle defense for the last 8 weeks. Everybody talked about how great they were. They were never great defensively, and what they did to Wilson was amazing, but I don't think they can do that to Rodgers.
Hey, look, you and I talked about Wilson's struggles. I was told he was holding on the ball too long coming to this game. That was why he'd been struggling. They changed their identity. They tried to become too much of a run team, when they should have been doing what they did in the first half when we talked about week one. I was hearing the Seahawks would come out passing the season. They did. And then they started hiding the ball again, trying to be more of a run team, and that didn't work because Wilson got out of rhythm. So, yeah, the Rams had them this season. They were 3-0 against them, no question about it. I agree with your assessment. I give Goff tons of credit with that beat-up right thumb that got surgically repaired a couple weeks ago. Incredible job he did to somehow hang in there and pull it out. Not this game. They're not scoring enough points in this game. I think the Packers won't have too much of a problem. Now, I do want to give the Rams credit. Their defense is fantastic. Aaron Donald will play with his rib injury, which, as you saw, he couldn't come back in the game. But, you know, overall, the Rams' problem is they just don't score enough. And I think in the end, that's what will doom them against the Packers.
What do you think would be a better NFC Championship game, Aaron Rodgers against Brady or Breeze?
Ooh, I love both. Okay. I'd love to see Rodgers against Brady.
All right.
I would love to see it. The over-under would have to be over 60 in that game, by the way.
All right. So what happens to Philip Rivers?
Yeah, he has not made a decision, neither of the Colts, in terms of bringing him back. Did a good job. They made the playoffs with him. He had that bad toe, by the way, which may get surgically repaired. Look, Frank Reich, their head coach, he had a good season, but he's had some time management challenges, which he could have done a better job with. Good head coach. They'll be better this next season. They do not have, by the way, their future quarterback on the roster. They know that. They have to address it. This is, you know, it's amazing to me, Pharrell. If you and I looked at 32 teams, there are at least a dozen teams that are not completely sure who their starting quarterback is going to be next season, which is almost hard to understand. You're talking more than a third of the league doesn't really know who their starting quarterback is going to be next season for sure. That's a lot. And that's why this draft, the quarterbacks, and I know we're going to get into the quarterbacks in a future show. The quarterbacks for this draft, my friend, you might see seven quarterbacks go in the first, 40, 45 picks.
Wow, that's crazy. Now, Do you have any stock in this Deshaun to Miami for Tua? And I've got respectfully 40 seconds.
My good friend Chris Mortensen from ESPN, who I work with for 4.5 years, put that. It's more of a rumor. He's just talking about a plausible way it could happen. Look, the first thing, again, as we talk about Watson, I know we're going to talk about a lot going forward. Until he comes out and says, I want to be traded, which he's not done, he ain't going anywhere. They do not. I could tell you from a high-ranking team source, they do not want to trade him at all. They want him to be the future of the franchise. He is, and he will be. Unless he makes it unbelievably difficult for him in the future, he's going to be a Texan.
And Dan Quinn, real quick, 20 seconds. Is he going to get that D.C. job in Dallas?
They want him badly, and this would be a great fit because they want to run a 43 front. Remember, he runs the Seattle defense. He is clearly the guy there. They just got to make him the offer.
All right, Adam, great stuff. We'll see you on Thursday and, of course, Friday on top of that. Sounds like a good week to me for the divisionals. Great job today. There he is, Adam Kaplan of Coast to Coast.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, so when the Steelers have won six Super Bowls, I got to tell you, I watch a lot of highlights the day of the game and the day after the game, and I never stop. When the Penguins win five Stanley Cups, I watch a lot of highlights the night they win the cup, and the day after, I watch a lot of highlights. When the Steelers and Penguins lose, I don't even turn on the TV at all because I can't take it. I cannot take watching it again and again and again in the highlights. I can't even watch, like, fans celebrate, like, that are fans of the Browns or whatever. That's great. Congratulations. But now I got to listen to it. That's the plan here. You got Carver High sticking this one right in the show here at the end just to rub it in my face. Okay, we can all play this game, so you get it in today, and then I'll save mine for you for later. Go ahead. Play the clip.
Well, look, I have to put something in here for Cleveland. Backstabber. It's the first time they've won a playoff game in 26 years. We gotta give them a little bit of a break. So here we go. The final call last night, ESPN 850 WKNR Cleveland.
Mayfield takes a snap. That's going to do it from Pittsburgh, from Heinz Field. Sit back and watch and listen to this one. Inside a half minute, and the Browns will not have to snap the ball again. They will beat the Steelers in the opening round of the playoffs on a wonderful, wonderful wild card weekend. They knock off the Steelers 48-37. Kansas City, here we come.
Yeah, be careful what you wish for, tough guy. all right, so can we move on to something else before I start losing my temper?
We can move on. The Browns, of course, will be in Kansas City on Sunday,
3 p.m.
Eastern, the first game there. Ravens and Titans yesterday in Nashville, Scotty, a 20-13 win for the Ravens. First playoff victory for Lamar Jackson, as we know. Now, here's head coach John Harbaugh. Now, this franchise has won two Super Bowls in the past. Harbaugh happened to be head coach for one of those Super Bowls. But, Scotty, this is the best win in franchise history. Here's Harbaugh.
Come on.
You know I don't like the comparison, but I tell you, that's one of, that may be – that right now, I'm going to tell you right now, it's the number one best win. All right? Now, in perspective, it's going to be a top five for sure, but right now, for me, this is the best win ever. And not just because of what was at stake, but because of the guys and what it meant to our team and to our guys, you know? What it meant to all of our guys. This may be the best one I've ever been associated with. Defensive effort, like you said, it was discipline. It was eyes on your luggage. It was finishing. It was running to the ball. It was tackling. Up front, our defensive line did a phenomenal job against their very good offensive line. So we got them stopped a lot of times before we got started. All those things came into play.
That was a great game. I don't see how a wild card win is bigger than winning a Super Bowl. So he's just lying through his teeth. He's getting all emotional. But my question to you is, Carver High, let's get down to business. I mean, you saw how they looked. What they did to the Titans was just shut down Henry and turn that water off. All I know is they're going into Buffalo. And that is a dangerous team, dangerous defense, dangerous quarterback. I still think Josh Allen's better. I mean, Josh Allen's a pure thrower and runner, and this guy runs. Like, that touchdown run was unbelievable, but I still, like, that pass he threw to Butler, that pick, that's the guy I think he can be. I don't trust him throwing the ball.
Yeah, and that's what the Bills need to do, Scotty, on Saturday night. They need to make Lamar Jackson beat them through the air. Don't let him run all over the place, because that changed the game yesterday. The 57-yard touchdown, the other big run that set up the other touchdown. That's how the Ravens scored. Look, last year, they did a good job on him. The Bills lost a 24-17 game to the Ravens in Buffalo, and they held Lamar to 45 yards rushing and 170 yards passing. They just couldn't do much offensively that day, but this year is a different Josh Allen and a different Buffalo Bills offense. So we'll see. And the Bills don't run the ball anyway. They don't run. You know, I mean, Allen runs, but in terms of running backs, the Bills don't hand the ball off. When they do, they can't. So they're going to look to throw. And here's a problem, Scotty, because you'd think that, like, snow and windy conditions in Buffalo on Saturday night would be good for the home team.
Right.
I think that actually favors the Ravens, because the Bills want to throw the football. The Bills want to play wide open, up and down. The Ravens will pound you with that 300 yards on the ground. So I'm already – early reports. Now, we know – we say this all the time about weather people. They're always wrong. You can't look until the day before. as of now, early forecast, some snow in the forecast for Buffalo on Saturday night. So we'll see how that changes things.
Look, Dobbins has turned into a stud, and certainly in the red zone, he was a stud in that game. In close, he got in the end zone and did his thing. They had a lot of big runs. Obviously, if that guy throws for 175 and runs for a buck and a quarter, you're going to lose the game. You cannot let that guy beat you both ways. But I don't think Allen is afraid to throw the ball in the wind and snow. The guy's a stud. That's all there is to it. Diggs is a freak. All of them. Beasley. I love that team. Their tight ends. Everything about them, the way they throw the ball. I mean, maybe the best throwing team besides Patrick Mahomes. I would love to see the Bills and Chiefs in the AFC Championship. I guess time will tell. But, boy, do they have their hands full on Saturday night. Now, do we get to hear from Sean McDermott? I know he's excited.
Yes, let's hear from McDermott talking about the first playoff win in 25 years for the Buffalo Bills.
Fortunate I've been in this, I think it was my 28th or 29th playoff game. So I've been in, I've had opportunities like this. I'm very grateful to get the win as a head coach, but I think I'm more happy for our team and our fans and Terry and Kim and all the people that have, you know, worked so hard even before we got here, honestly. And for the fans to stand behind this team the way that they've done over the years, and the fans and how much noise they made today, even at 6,700, I guess was the number. Incredible, man. Just you could feel it in the air, just the atmosphere and the environment it was almost like it was full, especially down the stretch there, and just special, only in Buffalo.
I mean, what a shame that there's only 6,700 fans there, because if they played this divisional game in a packed stadium, I think it would have a huge impact on that football game. And the fact that there's no fans there, 6,000 fans, is like, that's like having a stuffed nose. Bottom line is, there's nobody there, and that's just no advantage whatsoever. He's just tripping that they made no impact on that game on Saturday. That was a great football game, and I never once thought there were fans there, so I don't know what he's talking about. I knew it was empty. 6,000 fans. I mean, that's like, that's a tailgate party in one corner of the, parking lot. So I don't want to hear it. Yeah. This is going to be, they'll regret not having their fans there. If they had them, I think they could beat Baltimore, frankly, by 10 points.
Yeah, look, it doesn't make a big deal having 6,700 people in the place. It really doesn't. And they will have that again. The state announced this afternoon, Scotty, they will be allowed to have fans again on Saturday night against Baltimore. Same amount as they had over the weekend against the Colts. Let's get to the NFC side now. It was a struggle for a half for the New Orleans Saints yesterday. They did end up beating the Chicago Bears, and they covered 21-9. Let's hear from Drew Brees, Scotty. They finally got it going in the second half.
The guys up front, I felt like, did a great job against a really good pass rush front. By sustaining those drives, you know, you end up getting those 12-play, 15-play. We had a few of those drives in the second half, which, you know, chewed up a bunch of clock, kept our defense off the field and fresh, and we're able to get points. And at the end of the day, you know, despite the first half where we felt like, you know, we weren't really able to capitalize on some of the drives and really get significant points. You know, defense played lights out, special teams played really well, played the field position game at times. It was just great complementary football all the way around. And sometimes you got to do that to win. That's what the great teams do.
I got to tell you, that sounded really complicated for as boring as that game was.
It was bad. It was a tough watch, man.
Honestly, it was,
a couple of the games were, there's no doubt. But that Bears Saint, that Bear. How about though? Everybody praising Nagy and Trubisky, Scotty, over the last 5 weeks for how great the offense was when they were playing absolutely hack teams. They played a good defense yesterday, and just like earlier in the year, they did absolutely nothing. If I'm the Bears, I break that pair up. Don't bring those guys back. Whether it's
I gotta
of them,
tell you
one
though,
of them, whatever.
I blame Mims, honest to Christ. The guy dropped a touchdown pass right in his hands. He's a professional wide receiver. The game was never the same. It's the same as when he dropped that. It literally, they never recovered. The same as when Pouncey shot that snap over Roethlisberger's head. The game was over. I don't care if it was 7-0. They never recovered from that snap, and they never recovered from that guy dropping that flea flicker touchdown. It would have been 7-7. I blame Mims. Mims for the loss completely. That team played great in the first half. I don't know where the hell they went at halftime to smoke bong hits or something, because they looked terrible in the second half.
The Rams eliminate their division rival, the Seahawks, on Saturday afternoon. John Walford started the game for the Rams. It looked like he was going to be the guy. Gets injured on the first drive, Scotty. Jared Goff comes in with the injured thumb. Here is head coach Sean McVay. Praised him for stepping in and getting it done.
The thought process going into the game was our starting quarterback had thumb surgery. He did everything in his power to get himself ready. We felt like him being ready, even in a limited capacity, behind John was going to be the best option. He handled himself incredibly well, showed great leadership throughout the course of the week. Thought John was really getting ready to get into a rhythm. And then Jared stepped in, handled things incredibly well. You could see, just battled. But I was really pleased with his effort. And you could just see, just, I mean, this is a guy you're talking about had thumb surgery a couple weeks ago. It's almost like deja vu, except for I just feel a little bit happier right now.
Actually, what that means in Portuguese is most people think he sucks, and I didn't think he did anything in that game at all. They won that game because of their defense, and that's all there is to it. That guy is dead meat this weekend. If he plays like he did in that game, because he didn't do anything. So I'm telling you, if he plays like that this weekend, they're going to get racked at Lambeau. Rack-a-lamb.
It's going to be on the defense again, Aaron Donald and Jalen Ramsey and company, to slow down Aaron Rodgers on Saturday afternoon. Bucks beat Washington on Saturday night, Scotty, 31-23. Taylor Heinicke, monster game for him, 306 yards, touchdown, played very well for Washington.
He was great.
Here's Tom Brady, Scotty. Happy, but he feels like the Bucks missed a lot of opportunities on Saturday.
Yeah, like, you know, to cover.
Some big plays, made some chunks. I think just not scoring enough in red area probably is the thing that bothers us. Missed a two-point play. Had other opportunities to score and just didn't quite take advantage. So moved the ball okay. I think we had, you know, decent yardage, but at the end of the day, it comes down to points, and we got to do a better job scoring more points. You know, work on that next week.
Yeah, we'll see if they can finally beat the Saints, is what it boils down to. That was another game I thought. It was all about that kid Heinicke, if you ask me, because I thought the Bucs played flat, and I thought the kid Heinicke played his ass off.
I'm with you. I didn't think the Bucs were very impressive at all on Saturday night, Scott.
I mean, nope.
If they played anybody else, other teams maybe, they might have lost that game. All right, here we go. We know the matchups now. Divisional playoff weekend. Let's start with the AFC side, Scotty. Right now on FanDuel, Bills Saturday night, -2.5 against the Baltimore Ravens. Chiefs and Browns, first game on Sunday afternoon, -10 for the Chiefs right now.
All they talk about is how bad the Browns' defense is, dead last and everything, but they didn't look like a lousy team last night kicking the Steelers' ass, did they? So I'm done with all the stats and projections and numbers and skinny and scoop, and I still like the Bills.
And in the NFC side, Rams and Packers on Saturday, -7 for the Pack. Bucks and Saints, Sunday late game, -3 for New Orleans.
I still got to go Saints, and I'm definitely on Green Bay there.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, Scotty Farrell with you on Coast to Coast. Hope you're digging us on Satellite Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 204, the new Sports Grid Radio Network, and all of our affiliates, Sports Map, Byline, Mightier 1090, and all of Southern California. Hope you dig the show. Game Time Decisions coming up top of the hour. I'll see you tonight at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 Pacific, on the bench during the national championship game on Sports Grid Radio and on YouTube. Search Sports Grid Radio. You'll be styling. What are the Super Bowl odds that you got for me, Carver High?
Yes, updated Super Bowl odds at FanDuel. Now that we only have 8 teams left in the tree, Scotty, here we go. Chiefs still your favorite at 2-1. Packers right after them, +380. The Saints, +550. Bills, 6-1 right behind them. Ravens, 8-1. Then the Bucks, the Rams, and the Browns. Your updated Super Bowl odds.
Little Super Bowl one rematch. You get a little Chiefs Packers going there. What do you think? Is that inevitable? I think FanDuel and Vegas think so. We'll see. The Islanders agree to a 3-year deal with their stud Matthew Barzal. How great is that kid? What a player!
Yes, having Barzal back in the mix, huge for the Islanders. 3 more years. Got the same team that was 6 wins away from a Stanley Cup just 4 months ago. So we'll see if the Islanders get things going. And what's going to be a lot of fun, Scotty, 2 more days, Wednesday night, hockey, Penguins Flyers on Wednesday. How about that?
So what would you do if you were the Devils after Corey Crawford signed an $8 million deal and then quit and retired, yeah, and now they have no goalie?
Call Vegas about Marc-Andre Fleury.
That's what I think they should do. Exactly. That's exactly what I think they should do. To be honest with you, Henrik Lundqvist says his heart surgery went well. It was like a 6-hour surgery. That's crazy. He's done playing. Jay Bouwmeester retires. Mike Milbury is now officially out at NBC after 14 years. Justin Thomas with the homophobic slur during the golf tournament in Hawaii. Anybody else, they lose their career. Him, nothing. No problem. Wash it off. PGA votes are not going to have the 22 PGA championship at the Trump Bedminster Golf Course in Jersey. What a shame. What a shame. By the way, a woman says she's worn the same dress for 100 days in a row and is never buying any new clothes. I bet you smell great.